it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94. WIP, check it out there. What a weekend. What a weekend we have coming up in front of us here. Saturday, the Phillies and the Dodgers at 6:38. I'll be on from 2 to 4, live on WIP from Citizens Bank Park alongside Ruben Amaro and Devin Caney. Maybe some other cast and characters popping in. But excited to do a day of Game 1 show live from Citizens Bank Park tomorrow. Very excited for that. Sunday, of course, the pregame show, Eagles, Broncos. Then we got a Game 2 Monday night. There's a lot right now going on. These are three huge days in Philadelphia sports. And it's kind of weird this week because of the AJ stuff and because of the Phillies. And, you know, we knew it was going to be the Dodgers. You know, the kind of the previewing of the series and the anticipation building for this gigantic National League Division Series. The Eagles and Broncos game has flown under the radar as much as any game in a while. And this will happen from time to time during October when the Phillies are part of the postseason mix, to where there's a matchup. You know, we'll react on Monday to everything and obviously have a lot of reaction to the Eagles or Broncos. And we'll have the pregame show with a good in-depth preview on Sunday. But in terms of the week on WIP, been very little Eagles-Broncos, very little on the game itself. You know, we asked Ross Tucker in our show. We've bantered about it, but not to the extent we usually have. So I want to dive today into my X-Factors, five things that will determine who wins this game, the Eagles and the Broncos. The Eagles, of course, are 4-0. The Broncos, 2-2. I will say, though, based on record, you would think there's a gap, right? Like, oh, 4-0 versus 2-2. I think Denver is better than their record. They look to me like a 3-1 team with a 2-2 record. And I think the Eagles are not as good as their record. They look more like a 2-2 team or a 3-1 team based on how they've played, but have a 4-0 record. So I look at this one as a very even matchup in South Philadelphia on Sunday afternoon. Are my five X factors that will determine this one Sunday. Number one, this is the biggest one. I'm sure it's keeping Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo and Jeff Stoutland up at night, is slowing down Nick Benito. Nick Benito might be the best pass rusher in the sport right now. And it's if you don't want to go there, it's at least just time to start putting him in the conversation with the Max Crosbys, with the Aiden Hutchinsons, with the Miles Garretts, with the Micah Parsons, with the best pass rushers in the NFL. Benito's a problem. And Cooper on the other side is a good football player too, but Benito is a game wrecker. And right now, the Eagles have some issues up front. So their offensive line hasn't been as dominant, hasn't been as stellar. You could probably, if you're making a very kind of rudimentary ranking just through the 4 weeks, no priors, just how they've played through 4 weeks, you could probably make a case this is a mediocre offensive line right now for the Eagles. And it's fallen significantly from the perch that they've been in years past, specifically last year when they were the most dominant offensive line. Now, is that going to change? I think so. You hope so. Based on the track record of Jeff Stoutland on these guys, you would think it would. But look, Landon Dickerson's hurt, or he's not himself. I still question why he came back so soon. And I do wonder if at some point this year, if the Eagles continue to maybe win and stack some wins, they give some of these guys a pause. You know, the Dodgers coming in here face the Phillies are the kings at this. Because they know they're going to be in the postseason. That's built in. They give their best players, especially their pitchers, breaks throughout the season. And they're fresher for October. So we'll see if the Eagles go there. But as far as Sunday, Dickerson's going to play and Lane's going to play. We'll see if he gets through the game. But Benito's a problem. And that could be maybe sliding protection. It could be getting the ball out of Jalen's hands quickly. It could be running at him the way the Eagles run at Micah Parsons over the years. We'll see. But if they just want to line up and just one-on-one block Nick Benito, it's one of the biggest tasks they've had in a long time. Benito is number one X-factor, slowing him down. X-factor number two, I'll stay on the defense. I'll go to the defensive side, is slowing down the run game. Eagles so far this year have not been great against the run. I thought they were better last week. And, you know, it's one of those things where you don't quite understand why. Why, and maybe last week was a big step in the right direction. But they have, I know right now Nolan Smith's out and he sets the edge very well. But they have good edge players in terms of against the run. They have excellent defensive tackles. Maybe part of this is Jalen Carter's shoulder. They have big-time inside linebackers. They have a corner and Cooper DeJean in the nickel towards the middle of the field that will hit. There's really no reason why they should be poor against the run, but they have not been very good against the run, and the Broncos will challenge that. You know, there's a lot of old school in Sean Payton. You could see the Bill Parcells. You could see that how he was raised in the game when you watch him call a game. Physical. And he's going to run the football. It doesn't matter who his quarterback is, where he was drafted, how much the league is moving towards pass. Even the best version of Drew Brees, they had a physical element to their run game. You go back to the 09 Super Bowl champion Saints, and he had a physical element to the run game. And then maybe the end of his run in New Orleans, physical element to the run game. And he has that now. You know, R.J. Harvey, the rookie, J.K. Dobbins, both averaging over 5 yards a carry. They're really getting ahead of the sticks. They're making life a little bit easier in their quarterback. They're not asking them to convert a lot of third and tens because they're getting ahead of the sticks on first down. They're going to come in here and try to run the football. The Broncos are not going to come in here and be soft. That is a physical football team. Again, you see the Parcells. It's funny, as you watch the league, there's the different trees, right? There's the Andy Reid tree. There's the Shanahan tree, and those two trees have been the most famous trees over the years. But I do think the Parcells tree is an interesting tree because the Parcells tree is really Sean Payton and Dan Campbell. And then everything that comes off of those two is within that tree. So now you can put Ben Johnson within that tree. So I think that's the third tree, the one that's not talked about a lot. Belichick obviously came off of that tree, during his time. So if you want to kind of do the feeder system off of Belichick, it's really off of Parcells. If we kind of trace the trees back of coaching, and you feel the physicality when you watch the Denver Broncos. I felt it watching them Monday night. So the Broncos will come and run on the football. The Eagles have to make it a point to slow them down. I mean, even if it's in the 4-ish yards per carry, that's okay. We cannot let the Broncos come in here and average 5 yards a carry. That's going to be a whole problem for the Eagles defense. All right. Key number three, X factor number three for the Eagles taking down the Broncos on Sunday afternoon is going to be forcing Bo Nix into a mistake. I like Bo Nix. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I think it was a good comp last week or a couple days ago when Vic Fangio compared him to Baker Mayfield. I see that. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Baker in terms of, you know, Baker will scramble, move. I think Bo can run. I think Bo Nix, if he breaks contain or he breaks the line of scrimmage and you're not there, and your back is turned, he can take off for 20 or 30. I mean, he can run. I like that he has a lot of experience, both in college now and in the pros. He's not your typical second-year quarterback that throws the ball with velocity, throws the ball in the tight windows. He's good. I know the first few weeks, Pro Football Focus downgraded him, said he wasn't that good. It wasn't great. But I thought he bounced back on Monday night. Now, the one thing that Bo Nix will do is he'll make a mistake. He's not afraid to throw an interception. He's thrown four this year, threw one in the end zone last week against the Bengals, but the Bengals are so bad right now that it didn't matter. They still routed Cincinnati. The Eagles need to force Bo into the mistake. That's how this game could be won. It's really how all these Eagles games are won. They create the one mistake, and that wins the football game. Force Bo Nix into a mistake. Force him to throw the football into a spot where maybe he shouldn't, and then take advantage of it. He's going to give him one. I mean, let's call it that way. Bo Nix, based on the season, based on how he plays, is going to give the Eagles a shot at the football. They got to take it, and they have to catch the interception. It's going to be there. I don't know who it's going to, but it's going to be there on Sunday. There's going to be a ball that he throws that he's going to want back immediately after he throws it, and the game really could come down to, will the Eagles catch that football? And I'm not even saying they have to take it the other way, just will they catch the football and steal a possession. So Bo Nix is good. He's going to make some plays. He's going to make a couple like, whoa, kind of plays. Like, he can do that. And I think people are going to walk out of the link saying he's a pretty good quarterback, but he will make a mistake. It's up to the Eagles to capitalize on Sunday.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast, smart move. Being financially savvy, smart move. Another smart move, having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The holidays have arrived at the Home Depot, and we're here to help bring the excitement with decor for every part of your home. Check out our wide assortment of easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees so you can spend less time setting up and more time celebrating. And bring your holiday spirit outdoors with unique decor like one of our Santa inflatables. Whatever your style, find the right pieces at the right prices this holiday season at the Home Depot.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, key number four, X factor number four that's going to decide the game on Sunday. You didn't think we'd get this far into the episode without addressing Jalen Hurts, the passing game, which has been putrid so far this season. Some of Jalen Hurts' numbers in terms of quarterback rating, passer rating, and QBR look okay. They're about number 10 in the NFL. I think that is a little bit deceiving because Jalen Hurts has picked up a fumble he had. Jalen Hurts has had a couple of interceptions dropped that would totally change those numbers in a super meaningful way, even though it's the same guy, right? It's the same moment, same plays. It's just things have kind of been fortunate. I think when you look under the hood a little bit, yards per completion, yards per attempt, sack percentage, net yards per attempt, not going great right now for the Eagles passing game. I think you see that without even looking at the numbers. Sunday is going to be an interesting opportunity. Jalen's going to have to buy his time. Jalen is going to have to live to die another down. There's going to be some ugly plays out there. The Broncos have an extreme pressure rate. They get a lot of sacks. They have Patrick Surtain. This is not going to be a game you feel like the Eagles are going to light them up. But there's going to be moments where the Eagles will catch them in man. And man coverage is where Jalen Hurts excels. So when those plays happen, I think the Broncos are going to change it up. They're going to go man. They're going to go a little zone, a man behind. They're going to go and change things up. They're going to bring pressure. But on those select occasions, let's say it's five throws, five dropbacks on Sunday, where the Broncos have pressure coming, the Eagles pick it up, and it's man behind. Those five plays, Jalen's got to make a pay. That's what these Eagles receivers do well. That's what AJ does well. That's what Jalen throws well. I get it. Where this passing game is right now in the Petullo situation, I don't think they're going to do great in zone. When the Broncos are in zone, and they're going to probably do that primarily, I don't expect the Eagles offense to light it up. Jalen will probably just have to eat it. There's probably going to be three or four sacks. It's probably going to be a bunch of throwaways, and it's going to be like, oh, my God, what are we watching? But those five plays where the Eagles' O-line picks it up and it's man behind the pressure, that's when Jalen's got to hit that shot. Hit those plays. Make that play. Those will decide the football game. If he does it, and let's say he's 4 out of 5 on those, or 3 out of 5, but the threes are big plays, no turnovers, and we look up, and after the game, you're like, Jalen Hurts, when facing man coverage, was 3 of 5 for 105 yards and a touchdown. That's the kind of thing that can win a football game. Jalen Hurts, when man is there, when the Broncos go to man, he has to be able to make them pay. And that could also mean man coverage, he uses his legs and he runs, right? Picks it, you know, it gets picked up, the pressure, and then it's man behind him, so their backs are turned. Jalen can run on those. I mean, he's got to make them pay when they go to man coverage. And the last and final X factor for this game on Sunday, because if you look at a lot of the elements, it points Broncos. It reminds me a little bit of the Rams game, which obviously the Eagles won and covered, but, you know, you watch the game and you're like, well, there's a reason why many people thought the Rams were either the better team or certainly the better side in that game when you add in the point spread. It was +3.5 that day. This one's fluctuated 4.5, 3.5. When you look at the game, a lot of things point to the Broncos. Their run game, their defense, their pass rush, the Eagles' pass offense. It's all kind of pointing to it. This feels like a very tight game, and it feels like one the Eagles have to be on their P's and Q's. Otherwise, the Broncos come in here and seal the game. The one thing that is clearly in the Eagles' advantage, you want to say two, I think one has become a little bit outdated in terms of using, but we could throw it in. But the one thing is the rest discrepancy. The Broncos played a Monday night football game. The Eagles played on Sunday. That's huge. That day of rest is huge, and I think it could show itself in the fourth quarter of this football game. You also want to throw in, if you like to use this as a big advantage, West Coast to East Coast for a 1 o'clock start, or Mountain Time to East Coast for a 1 o'clock start, body clock issues for the Broncos. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think teams have figured out how to adjust to this. But the rest thing you can't adjust to, you can't account for a lost day of prep. And that's what Sean Payton has, a lost day of prep. Monday night, while the Eagles are back home and Nick Sirianni is watching film and breaking down what's wrong with the Eagles and trying to see how they could fix things, the Broncos are playing a football game against another opponent and trying to get themselves right to win that game, because they came into that game 1-2 off of two heartbreaking, tight losses at the end. That's a big, big advantage. Rest advantage matters. It matters for the point total, matters for the spread. It matters for wins and losses. It matters for everything. The Eagles have it in this game. The Broncos could be wary and tired in the fourth quarter. Got to take advantage of it. So the five X factors that will determine the Eagles and the Broncos on Sunday in Week 5, a big one at Lincoln Financial Field. Number one, slowing down Nick Benito. He's in that class now. He's risen to become one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. He's probably the most nondescript great pass rusher in the NFL, the one the average fan would know the least about. He's a player. Number two, slowing down this Broncos running game. They can run the football, and you know Sean Payton from that Parcells tree wants to be physical. R.J. Harvey, the rookie, J.K. Dobbins, both averaging over 5 yards per carry. Number three, forcing Bo Nix into a mistake. Bo's good. He's a good football player. Tough quarterback. I think the comparison to Baker's good. It's almost like a mix between Jake Baker, Mayfield, and Jalen Hurts. Is he ever going to be truly a top five guy? I doubt it. But could Bo Nix become a top 10 guy? I think he can. Yeah, he's got that kind of skill and maturity. He's good, but he will make a mistake, and the Eagles have to take advantage of it when he does. He has 4 picks in the first 4 weeks of the season. Number four, Jalen taking advantage of man coverage when it's there. The Broncos mix it up. They have excellent corners. Surtain is a defensive player of the year. Riley Moss is a really good corner, the former teammate of Cooper DeJean at Iowa. They've got good ones, but man is where Jalen excels. Man is where the Eagles excel. When those snaps happen, the Eagles have to take advantage of those tremendously. And number five is the fourth quarter, the rest advantage. The Broncos could be a little tired. They played Monday night. B beat them in the fourth quarter. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.